Man, it is good to be with y'all today. Man, anybody glad for kids ministry today? We got some parents happy about that. Yes, kids ministry. I know Larry, I don't think he's in the room here today, but y'all know Larry, right? Everybody knows Larry. If you don't know Larry, you need to get to know Larry. Larry is, man, just the foundation of this church. He oversees our facilities, but he does way more than that. How many of you know Larry is just the man? Anybody else can say amen to that? Larry's the man. And y'all aren't even clapping before I'm going to tell you about him. But Larry has been running point on our gym remodel. And today, it is completed, praise the Lord. And we paid cash for it, praise Jesus. How many of you know I love to pay cash for things? Debt, not a fan of debt. And so thankful. But if you see Larry, I want you to tell him thank you, because he ran point on that whole project. And the reason why the kids are in there today is because he bird dogged that thing. He stuck with it. And I see, look at me, I'm talking East Tennessee here. He really saw that project from start to finish. And so if you see Larry, just tell him thank you. There's so many people also in the church that have been helping with this and to prepare for our kids. And so we're excited that today we get to roll out the red carpet for our children. How many of you know the children are just as important to you guys as you guys? Y'all a little quiet on that one. We at this church, we love our kids. And man, we believe that they are and a beautiful expression of the kingdom of God, and that we actually see the kingdom in ways that we couldn't as adults when we're around kids. And so we love to honor our kids, and we're so grateful that they are back in the building with us today at 9 and 11. Man, today I want to continue talking about this lifestyle of Jesus. And last week, Dr. Parks did such a phenomenal job of opening up the scriptures. Yeah, we can get a little clap for Dr. Parks here. Dr. Parks, I see him up there. He's hiding up in the balcony today. He's like, I'm glad I'm not on the stage today. But Dr. Parks, man, thank you so much for bringing the word last week. His devotion to the word of God, it inspires me. Does it inspire you? I love how he wrestles down things of the scriptures, and he always wants to anchor himself in the word. And I love how he explains so beautifully how Jesus actually grew in wisdom. Although he is in the divinity of who he is wisdom, yet he grew in wisdom and stature. And I love how he unpacked that, how the Spirit actually worked in his life and brought it about. And really, if you missed last week and maybe reading the scriptures has been challenging for you, I would encourage you to go back, listen to the podcast, or jump online and watch the video. It was incredible. So much good content there, but so thankful for his heart and how he unpacked it, because we long to be a church that's two things. So hear my heart. We long to be a church that is a church of spirit and truth. A church that, man, embraces the Holy Spirit at the same time we embrace and submit to the word of God. Anybody else want to be part of that kind of church? And let me just be clear. They are not against each other. Can we just say amen? Can y'all awake today? Spirit and truth. The Spirit wrote the word. And so, man, we want to be a church of spirit and truth, and we want everything that God has that he wants to give us, but we believe that all of that should be filtered through his word, right? And so today we're going to open up the scriptures, and we're going to talk about another spiritual discipline that I think, by and large, the Western church has missed out on. Now, when we talk about these spiritual disciplines, that idea sounds a little harsh, or sounds a little redundant, or maybe a little rigid. And so when we talk about spiritual disciplines, we got to recognize that they are, they're a means to an end. They're not the end. I want you to think about this. So these spiritual disciplines, like prayer and fasting and studying the scriptures and celebrating, like we talked about a few weeks ago, they are not the end. They are the means to the end. And so spiritual disciplines, it's really important that we understand this as we're looking at the lifestyle of Jesus. Spiritual disciplines, they do this. They position us in the presence of God. That, my friends, is the end goal for you and I to be in fellowship with God. And so if there's anything that I ever teach that would keep you from fellowship with the Lord, I can just tell you, you need to drop it. Because everything we teach, everything that we read in this book right here, this amazing, incredible word of God, it all points us to this, that God desires to be with you. He desires to be in fellowship with you, to walk with you, for you to know him and for him to know you. And so these spiritual disciplines that we've been looking at, the end game is to get us in the presence of God, to get us to see God so that we can be transformed. The goal of following Jesus is not to stay the same. How many of you like to stay the same, though? Can we just be honest up in church? I know it's a little hard sometimes. It's easy to stay the same. It's comfortable. It feels good. I know what to expect. But, man, if you follow Jesus very long, you're going to recognize, oh, my goodness, he always is inviting us to do something different, to do something new, to be transformed. And so today I want to talk about something that I've never preached on, which is always fun. So I'm doing something new today. And maybe, I'm guessing many of you have never probably heard a sermon on this. And today I want to talk about the spiritual discipline of silence and solitude. See, y'all are already practicing it right now. Crickets, crickets. Silence and solitude. How many of you ever heard a message on silence? I just survey anybody. It was a short one, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah. Actually, I've actually cut my sermon down today because I'm like, I'm talking about silence. I should probably not preach for 45 minutes. We'll see about that today. But silence and solitude, that sounds invigorating, right? And as we come back this week and we've got 11 o'clock service, then no RSVP, I'm like, man, I want to preach something to get me fired up, and I want to preach the word of God, and I want to get fired up. And I'm like, yes, I do. But today the Lord was like, I want you to teach on silence. I'm like, great, great. But here's what I want you to know, though, and what I've learned in my own life is that I don't believe there is anything as pregnant with the potential of transformation than it is to sit with the Lord. Sermons are great. Obviously, a big part of my job here is to preach. I love preaching. Listen to podcasts, amazing. Studying the word, we should be doing that. But I don't know of anything that is as transformational as sitting alone with God. And it's foundational, man. It's the building block. But I think in the Western church, we've missed out on this beautiful, beautiful invitation to be with God, to not do something for him. Today, I want to talk about the blocking and tackling of what it looks like to just be with God. My daughter, she started volleyball this year. She's in fifth grade and never played volleyball, and she got invited to be part of this incredible team with this amazing two coaches and really, really pumped, and we said yes to it. And so we, I don't think, ever actually owned a volleyball before this year, and yet now she's playing on our travel team. I don't know how that happened, but she didn't know anything about volleyball. So literally the first practice, like, they had to teach some of these girls, hey, three hits and then it has to go over the net. Like, that's how basic we're starting here. They had to teach her how to hold her hands. They had to teach her how to get low. I'm learning all these things, by the way. And I didn't know, you guys may have already known. Do you know that they have rotations in volleyball? Like, I just thought they went out and hit the ball. Like, I'm thinking it's pretty common, but it's an intricate sport. I had no idea. There's a lot of rules. And so she's learning from the basics of where to be, how to hold her hands, what happens when the ball is in the air, how many, all these rules. And so she's learning from the foundation. So today, I want to start really from the very beginning. I want to build some foundation, because this is what I felt like the Lord said to me this year as we started this year, is I want Christ Fellowship, I want this church to grow in maturity this year. How many of you know that's always God's desire, by the way? It's always his desire. But I felt that he was really impressing on me that this year he wanted me to be really aware and to lead this church with real intention to see maturity of our faith this year, to see maturity. And so today I think is a step in that direction. When we talk about silence and solitude, what am I talking about? If you're taking notes, you can write this down. Silence is not talking. There you go, Captain Obvious. But it's way more than just not talking, right? There's lots of times when we just don't talk. So silence with this spiritual formation piece is that we don't talk in order that we can intently listen to what the Lord is saying. See, it's not that I just shut my mouth, although that's a great place, and many of us should probably just start there, honestly, especially on social media. Amen. But we shut our mouth in order that we can hear what the Lord is saying. And then solitude is also, it's being alone. Now, how many of you know there's a difference between solitude and isolation? Oh, man, this isolation that we've been through this last year or so has been really hard. And so isolation is something that you're told to do and you're trying to stay away from people. But solitude is when I choose to be alone in order that I can recognize that I'm not alone. Whew. See, solitude is me separating myself from community in order that I can slow down enough to recognize that no matter where I go, no matter how far I run, that I'm actually never alone. It's a beautiful concept, something that we could just sit there and think about the rest of the day. The silence and solitude, and what we see in Jesus' life is that he had these rhythms of silence and solitude. I'm gonna be all over the scriptures today. I think we've got Mark chapter 14 on the screen here. This is towards the end of Jesus' life, and he's been put on trial, and they're asking him some questions, and 61 here of chapter 14 of Mark, we see that Jesus does this interesting thing. It says, but he remained silent. This is Jesus. He remained silent and he made no answer. And again, the high priest asked him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And then Jesus says, I am, and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of with power and coming on the clouds of heaven. And so we see here something interesting. So we see Jesus speak, but we also see him be silent. And so here's what I want you to see is that Jesus had moments of his life where he had powerful and bold proclamation. But these powerful, bold proclamations were coupled with moments of confident silence. And these are the rhythms that we see in Jesus' life. Let me just give you a few references. Mark 1:35 says, in rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, he, Jesus, departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. This is Jesus, Messiah, the one who came to set us free from our sin, to give us a model for what it looks like to live on the earth, connected to the Father, filled with the Spirit, bringing about the kingdom of God. He had moments in his life where he would just separate himself from everybody else and be with the Father. Matthew 14:23, I love this one. It said, and after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. And what you'll see as you read through the Gospels, as you read through the incredible works of Jesus, the incredible teaching of Jesus, is that his ministry was often bookended by times of solitude with his Father. Before he did these amazing works and after he did them, he would often remove himself from the crowd, remove himself from all the people that wanted to push him up and to make him king on the earth. He would remove himself from those people in order that he could just be with his Father, that they could hear from the Father, that he could connect with the Father, that he could pour himself out with the Father. And what we see in Jesus' life is so important, that silence with God enables us to navigate a loud world. And this is so important. How many of you know the world is really loud? Are y'all with me today? Man, there are so many voices vying for our attention. There's so many voices that are trying to get us to listen and to be influenced. But when we have silence with the Lord, it actually positions us and enables us to navigate a world that is so, so loud. And Jesus modeled this for you. And so today, I'm gonna try to model or demonstrate something for you just so you can have a marker in your brain. And so, likely this may be the only thing you remember today, and so I want to make sure we get this right. And so I've got something that I want to show you to demonstrate. So Tom, I think you've got it set up here, Tom. So here's what I got here. This is some noise. So there's some background noise. And so here's what I want you to do. As you're hearing that noise, I want you to read right now what's on the screen, all right? So go ahead and read what's on the screen. Go ahead and read it. And as you're reading, keep reading. Yeah, that was a little challenging, right? I'm reading, I'm speaking, I've got all the noise of the world. This is honestly what I feel like many of us feel when we're walking with the Lord. A lot of static, a lot of noise, and not a lot of clarity. And this is what I found. The reason why I had that speech up there was that I wanted it to be a way that where we see that sometimes when we're praying, when we're speaking to the Lord, it's really hard for us to listen to what he's saying. Let me just make sure we're clear. Jesus loves to hear your needs. We know that. He says, man, I know your needs, but I still want to hear them. So he loves to hear our needs. But what I found is that when I'm all the time talking to the Lord, it's really hard for me to listen to what he's saying. And so when we begin to develop, when we get away from the noise of the world, all that background noise, when we separate ourselves for a time away from that, and when I actually shut my mouth and I allow there to be quiet, when I allow there to be just peace, it enables me to begin to discern, what is God saying? What does he think? What's his heart towards me? And then what's amazing is then the goal of solitude and silence is not that we're just always away from everybody else. Although introverts in the house, can you just say that would be heaven on earth? Yeah, some of you are like, yeah, that would be great. But the goal of solitude and silence is not to just remain in solitude and silence, remain away from people. The goal is that we could connect with the Father, that I could hear from the Father, and then I could go into a busy, loud world and still hear his voice. See, this is what Jesus showed us. Moments with the Father, and then he'd come back down in the middle of the people, and he would share, and this is where we see Jesus. He says, I only say what the Father's saying. He said, I'm giving you the words that I've heard the Father say. And so today, I want to challenge you. What's it look like if you would make time for some silence? You would make time for some solitude, not just to be away from everybody, but that you could recognize how near God is. Today, I want to just end with 5 points for you on the value of this rhythm of silence and solitude, and to give us some meat to chew on a little bit. So what are some of the values of silence and solitude? Number one is it reminds us that we are to be before we do. Man, this is one of the things, if you were ever raised in church, that I think all of us have struggled with, and that's this idea that somehow God is going to respond to me or he's going to love me more if I do something for him. And this is why I love the simple practice of just sitting with the Lord, is because it reminds me that I am to be before I do. And this really ties into the vision of our church, that we desire that we would equip and empower you to be all that God designed you to be. And out of that being that we would do, how many of you know Jesus did a lot of things, right? The kingdom of God is active, it's moving, he's undoing the works of the enemy. He is moving across the earth as he's walking in. So he invites us to do a lot of things. But before we do, we've got to recognize that we are to be, to recognize that I am who God has said I am. And this is where silence happens. This is where being with the Lord and not trying to do something, where it roots us in this incredible truth. And from that place, then we go and we do the things. We go back off of the mountain and we go down into our workplaces. We go into our homes and we carry out all that God has put in our hands. So it reminds us to be before we do. And really the second one is very similar to that. It anchors us in truth that we are loved for who we are, not for what we do. And there's something about just sitting with the Lord with no agenda. Sitting with the Lord and not just having to open up my Bible, not writing down my notes, not praying, but just sitting. Something that helps me just to receive the love of God. This is why I love what God did with Adam and Eve. He created them, and the first day he had them just be with him. To know that he loved them before they ever cultivated the land, before they ever took dominion over the birds of the air and the beasts of the field, before they ever did it, he just said, I want you to be with me. This is one of the beautiful things when we are a people, we choose to have moments of silence, moments of solitude, is that we begin to recognize that, oh my goodness, I'm loved, period. And I can tell you, that's a hard concept for us to remember day to day. And it's so hard when the world tells us so many different things and vies for our attention. And so when I take a moment and I remove myself from all the chaos and all the clutter, and I just take a deep breath, And I just remember that God says that he loved me from the foundation of the world. And from that place, man, I can do anything. But silence and solitude, man, it has a way to just teach us to be instead of just trying to do. And the third one is really, really practical, is it gives us a rhythm where we slow down to recognize God. This weekend, we had a pretty busy weekend. We had a daughter in a volleyball tournament. We have a house that's completely being remodeled, which is fun and amazing. And this weekend, I found myself doing something that I don't enjoy. And I think it's right up there with moving that nobody's like, yeah, I got to go do something. I'm not going to show up for that. I had to paint a ceiling. Anybody ever had to paint a ceiling? Yeah, you notice I'm not moving a whole lot today. I'm a little sore. Three coats, it was killer. But while I was doing that, I did something very intentional. I didn't turn the radio on. And I was just by myself. Now, I didn't choose to be by myself. Nobody else wanted to be around me, right? Because they're painting, you know, nobody wants to be around. But I was just really intentional to be present. As frustrated as I was, this right here, oh my goodness. I think I put in 10 hours of ceiling paint this weekend. And as I was doing that ceiling paint, I was just having a conversation with the Lord. Why do I have to paint this three times, Lord? There has to be a better way. Why didn't I just pay somebody to do this? I don't know. But besides that, I'm just pretty cheap. I felt like the Lord, as I was teaching this weekend, he just said, hey, I want some extended time just with you and me. I just want you to be present, not do something for me, not study, but just to be. And in these moments where we just choose to set some time aside, whether it's painting a ceiling, although, man, God bless you if that's your call, if maybe it's turning the radio off in your car while you're commuting, maybe it's taking a few hours on a Saturday morning and just taking a drive or taking a hike. It's in these moments that we intentionally pause, that we begin to recognize that there's so much going on that distracts us from what the Lord's doing and saying. And so one of the ways that we snap out of that is that we choose to have times where it's just me and the Lord. Or we have choose to have times where I actually intentionally listen to what God's saying. And I'm telling you, it's really the path to really intimacy, to know the Lord. It's just to be with him. There's no other way to do it. Your knowing of the Lord is going to be surface if you just get this on Sunday mornings. Your depth of the knowledge, the experiential knowledge of God, if it's just coming from sound bites from your favorite pastor around the country, man, there's only going to be a surface depth there. But when we choose to sit with the Lord, I'm telling you, it changes everything. We begin to recognize him from that moment when we go back into the world. And this is the fourth one here is the one I really want to open up today a little bit longer today. So just hang with me here. The fourth one is this. It's an intentional way of cultivating humility when I choose to be in silence. Now, the staff and I, we've been hearing, we feel like we've been hearing the Lord talk about keys a whole lot and how he's given us doors to open. And one of the keys that we all have been talking about, and I think one of the most needed keys in the kingdom, is humility, humility. And I don't know about you, but humility is hard. And what I found is that when I'm quiet, when I actually shut my mouth, I learn the path of humility. See, most of the time, if we're honest, when we use our words, we're usually trying to get somebody to think something about me. Can we just be honest? Usually I'm defending myself. I'm trying to get you to think something about me. But when I actually shut my mouth and I'm quiet, I'm not trying to defend myself. And what happens in those moments is that I'm walking the way of humility. And what I'm learning is that God loves to come alongside those that are humble. I can tell you, I'm celebrating, tomorrow, I can't believe it, 4 years at this church, incredible, 4 years at this church, and the Lord has taught me a whole lot over these 4 years. I had some amazing moments and some really, really challenging moments, to be honest, but he's been teaching me humility and the value of a mouth that's quiet. What I've learned in my own life is that those that have the most to say are usually saying the least. I'm gonna say that again. Some of us just need to hear this. This might be for you, it might be for your spouse, it might be for me. Those that talk the most usually have the least to say. Now the scriptures are filled with this. Let me just give you a couple Proverbs here. Proverbs 18:13 says that if one gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame. Proverbs 29:11, a fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. And then I love Proverbs 27:27. It says, whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. So if you want to be wise, shut your mouth. Can somebody say, preach that? Man, what if we had some politicians that, man, we're choosing the road of wisdom versus the road to be heard? Now, we can all day long, we can point the finger of other people, and it's so fun and easy to point the finger at other people, isn't it? Oh my goodness, it's so much easier to point out the speck in somebody else's eye than see the plank in my own eye. Oh my goodness, we all love that. But today, I want you to really think about what was it look like for you to walk the road of humility, to learn the beauty of silence and solitude. Now, let me just unpack something. I want to pastor you in this moment, and I think it's really important because I see a lot of things going on, not just in the world, but in the church world. And part of my role as a pastor is to observe what is going on and to speak into it. And I can tell you what's going on in the world right now and what's going on in Christendom is that we have a lot of things to say. Seems like everybody has something to say. Everybody has an opinion. And I just want to pastor you. And just because somebody has a title, somebody has a position, doesn't mean that they have something to say. Here's what I see in the church that is alarming to me, and what I want to make sure that we don't buy into or that we go after is that in the church today, and I'm saying capital C church, big church, it has become vogue or become in to go after one another. I've heard it said before that Christians are great cannibals. Have you ever heard about that? We love to attack our own. And what I see in the Big C church is that that there is so many opportunities for division and teams, and I've got this theology, I've got this doctrine, I've got this way of worshiping, I've got this, and we all think we've got it figured out, and so anybody that disagrees, we have to attack because that's what we do, right? And here's the thought, and somebody actually had sent me a message or a book in this, but this thought came to my mind is that, and I want you to hear this because this applies to everything, but specifically in the church context, is that if you ever have to prove your point, and to do that, you have to separate yourself from the character of Jesus. No matter how right you are, you're wrong. I didn't say that very well, so let me say it again. In order to prove your point, if you have to separate yourself from the character and the way of Jesus, no matter how right you are, you're wrong. So I want to caution you, whether it's politics, whether it's church, whether it's sports, go Bucks. That if we have to separate ourselves from the life of Jesus in order to show that we're right, we're not right, we're wrong. Let me tell you what that takes. It takes a lot of humility to not respond. It takes a lot of humility to not go after and to try to prove a point. And what it does, and this is the thing that my wife Kate and I, we've been talking about a lot, is when we're silent with the Lord, it actually helps us to have discernment when everybody else is talking. When I have moments where I just sit with the Lord and I listen to him, when I sit with the Lord and I hear what he says to me, when I sit with the Lord and I open up this book and I say, God, what are you saying? When I do these things, when I have these moments of solitude and silence, it allows me to navigate a world and to have discernment to know what is of the Lord and what is not of the Lord. And I honestly think in this season, this is one of the things that the church, capital C church, is missing is discernment. I think there's a lot of gullible Christians. I think there's a lot of naive people in the faith that are just going along and doing the thing and never really holding it up. Is this what the Lord says? Is this what his heart is? And I'm saying the only way that we can really do that rightly is if we actually humble ourselves before the Lord. As a people, as a country, as a church, as a man or a woman, as a family, that we would humble ourselves and we would listen to what the Lord is saying. Quiet ourselves. Man, there's so much humility in it. I'm telling you, it's the way of Jesus. It's the way of Jesus. He says that he stood there silent. Oh, stood there silent while they were saying things about him. Whew. And that takes us to the last point. And that's that when we have moments of silence and solitude with the Lord, that it positions us to hear his voice. John 10:27 says that my sheep hear my voice. They know my voice and they follow me. They follow me. Listen, at this church, you've heard me say it time and time again. You've heard me preach this time and time again that we value the voice of God. Oh my goodness, we value the voice of God. And he speaks all different ways. He speaks through his word. The primary way that he speaks to us, he speaks as we pray. He speaks through nature. He speaks through circumstances. He speaks through other people. Thank God for community. But what I found is that there's no other way to hear the voice of God and discern his voice than to actually listen to him. There's no microwave answer. There's no expedited class to do this. There's no, you know, those Disney World passes that you go to the front of the line, you pay a lot of extra money. There's no such thing in the kingdom of God. We get to know God, we get to discern his voice as we hear him, as we sit with him. Now, practically, what does this look like today? What in the world does it look like? You're like, man, I see where you're coming from, Derek. I see Jesus. He had some lifestyle where he separated himself from others and just was with the Father, where he was quiet and listened. What does this look like? Well, let me just give you a couple ideas. Maybe this week you can take on. Maybe on your drive to work, you just turn off your radio. This is where a lot of us start. You know, the radio drive is easy to get distracted and we just kind of want to get from A to B. But man, if we just literally took that time and said, Lord, I want to offer this to you as just to be with you and to be silent. Maybe just turn off the radio. Or maybe this week when you go to work and you got a 15-minute break, maybe this instead of just getting on ESPN to see how bad Tennessee's recruiting class is next year, maybe you just said, you know what, I'm gonna shut the door in my office and I'm just gonna sit with the Lord. Not do anything, just be. Or maybe you have some room in your schedule where just a couple hours, maybe on Saturday, you can just set aside and say, God, I'm just gonna be with you. I just wanna be with you. I believe that when we take intentional steps to be with God, that there's transformation that happens. Because none of the things that we've talked about the last few weeks, none of them are gonna be forced on you. If you wanna grow in the Lord, if you wanna mature, I'm gonna tell you, it requires a lot of intentional decisions, one after another. It's not just gonna happen by osmosis. It doesn't just come by showing up to church. It comes in the secret place. one-on-one with the Lord. And so what would it look like for you to just adopt some rhythms? We've been talking about a lot of rhythms, but what would it look like this week for you just to say, I'm just gonna sit with God? And I know that sounds so foreign to you, but it's only foreign until it's familiar. So what would it look like for you to do that this week? To say, I'm gonna sit with the Lord and I'm just gonna listen. And to help you out here, as Grace is playing here, we're gonna sit here just for 4 minutes so I can show you that it's possible for you to just be quiet for 4 minutes. And so I'm gonna pray, and then we're just gonna sit here in silence, and we're gonna worship. I love how the Quaker church, part of their worship is to worship in silence with other people. Ah, I love that. And so I just encourage you just to take a deep breath. There's nothing gonna be demanded from you. You don't have to read your Bible in this moment. But just to learn to rest, to be. Jesus, I thank you so much that you came and that you declared amazing truth over us. That you proved your love as you hung on the cross and died, and that you came on the third day and were raised again. I thank you what David taught us, that he said, be still and know that I am God. And so, Lord, today we're taking a few minutes to take a few breaths. I pray you just root us in your love. Root us in who we are and who you say we are. Feel like he's wanting to just take a burden off of some people in the room. So as you're sitting there, just I want you to really just meditate on the fact that he died for you, because he loved you while you were his enemy. That he's inviting you to be with him and not just to do for him. I'd encourage you, maybe even if it's you, you feel like a burden, just open up your hands and just release it to the Lord today. Lord, I thank you that your burden is easy, it's light, your yoke is easy. You're teaching us to walk with you, to walk the rhythms of your lifestyle. So Lord, we just say peace be upon each person here today. Ability to discern your heart in situations. Lord, in moments like this, that you would fine-tune our ears to your voice, that when we go back into the world, as we go to lunch today, as we start work Monday, that we would have ears attuned to your voice. Teach us to take deep breaths, to be present and aware of you. oftentimes pray for our church. Would you give us big ears to hear you and a heart to obey you? Just take a moment today as we close and just ask the Lord to help you to be aware of him this week, to be aware of his voice. Just take a moment and just tell him your desire to hear his voice this week, to recognize his presence. Lord, thank you that you lead us to life. Yes, you lead us beside still waters. You lead us to green pastures. But you also lead us into our greatest fears and through our fears. Oh, we love you. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for your promise to never forsake us, to never depart from us. May we say yes to you this week, to see you in all things, the good and the bad, the highs and the lows. Thank you that you're with us in all of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
What an incredible day with the Lord. Before you head out, we want to remind you of an upcoming event you won't want to miss. I'm Noah, and this is my incredible wife, Chelsea. And we've had the privilege to work on an event happening this Friday at 6:30 p.m., CF Marriage Date Night.
Over the last several months, we've been diving deep into marriages from the perspective of heaven, and it's impacted us in such a big way. We're excited for this night with Derek and Kate and the founders of Calvary Church, Richard and Teresa Hilton.
Now, the good news is, unlike Pastor Derek and Kate, Richard and Teresa are Vols fans, so we can really enjoy that. But all jokes aside, we're excited about it because we believe it's going to be a fun night of laughter and fellowship, but also a real opportunity for transformation as we focus on building and strengthening healthy, vibrant marriages.
That's this Friday, February the 19th at 6:30 p.m. You can RSVP at christfellowship.me. We hope to see you all there.
Your ushers will release you by row. Have a great week.